Good Wednesday afternoon, Central Indiana. You are tuned to 91.9 FM, the home of unpredictable music, and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show, because it's 4:30 on Wednesday. What is Indy's Trusted Servant? Well, that's yours truly, Danny O'Malley. I do customer service training and keynote speaking about customer service and organizational culture. I learned all of that at the hand of the master, my late father, Joe O'Malley, from the age of about 10. And if you're interested in hearing more about that for your organization, why, feel free to give me a call at 317-413-9062. Then what's the Indy's Trusted Servant Show? I like to describe it as lively local small biz and community talk where you can feel the pulse of Indy. And our guests this week, for the second time, although it's been several years, are Paul and Suzanne, the owners of, you ready for this, My Pet Carnivore. And My Pet Carnivore is a pet food distribution warehouse on Shelby Street in Fountain Square, and it also houses the studio for 91.9 FM, all that unpredictable, eclectic music, and the Indy's Trusted Servant Show. We're going to talk about what My Pet Carnivore is and how the coronavirus has impacted yet another indie small business, for better or for worse. So, Paul and Suzanne, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I should say thanks for coming up to the studio, right?
Right on.
So, tell us about how you guys got started with My Pet Carnivore, and then tell us what it is.
Well, interestingly enough, this is our 10th year anniversary, too.
Congrats!
Oh, thank you. This is great. Yeah. We celebrated that March 15th, which was right when everything went crazy around here with the coronavirus. But it's been great anyway. We started as customers. My Pet Carnivore existed for a year or so before we purchased it. And what that is, it's a premier line of raw pet food. So maybe 3% of dog and cat owners feed a raw diet. And that's what we're here to supply. And we actually have the best line out there, if you don't mind me saying so. No one's doing what we're doing, which is starting with the whole animal. And we have a farmer that's dedicated to processing those animals, to butchering them, packaging them. So from farm to container, that's truly what we're doing.
You guys were dog lovers who bought the dog or cat food here, right?
That's correct.
Dog or cat?
Well, we have, dog, cats, ferrets. What we have are two Bernese Mountain Dogs, and we have a lovely shop cat named Red, who's turning 16 this year.
Red is the mascot. Is that a fair thing to say?
That's right, absolutely.
If you come down to tape one of these shows, you might get introduced to Red. Red is around quite a bit. So what did you guys do before, real quickly?
Well, we've had several businesses with varying degrees of success. We had an Amway business we had for 15 years.
Oh, okay.
We had a financial company that we ran that financed equipment for municipalities, primarily schools, computers, buses, et cetera. Suzanne had her own graphic design business and advertising company. We were partners in a restaurant here in Fountain Square.
What was that called?
That was Dino's Vino. We were partners in that.
Okay.
That's where the Pioneer used to operate, right there on the square. And that was back in the day when there was only like two restaurants in the entire neighborhood. So, and the cultural trail wasn't here. In any case, that's what we've been doing the past 10 years. Has been My Pet Carnivore, just pretty much head down, straight ahead. It's been...
Was it already called My Pet Carnivore when you bought it?
It was. Doug and Sue Sloan had begun the company. Sue sadly got ill and passed away within about a year of them launching.
Oh.
Doug had two other companies he was trying to run. And this is 2008 when the last economic challenge was. And
yep.
Our finance company ran out of customers for 6 months and didn't have any business at all. And so I was looking for something to do, and I asked Doug if he needed some help, and he said I'd rather have you just buy the thing. So it was a very small operation at the time, but we were happy to buy it, take it on, and just did everything ourselves.
So before we get into more specifics about the process and some of the success stories of My Pet Carnivore, how many employees do you have?
We presently have 12 employees.
And they all stuck with you all the way through the virus?
They have. Yeah, everyone's been really great. You know, there's an amount of stress for sure, both with staff and with customers. But they were happy that we stayed open, which we were allowed to do because we were considered an essential business.
Oh, so the decision makers think pets are essential, I guess.
That's right.
That's a good thing, right? If I had still been in the grocery business, I'd still have been allowed to be open, but I think I might have been driven crazy. Have you guys been driven crazy?
there's been several challenges we had to deal with, primarily doing with just processes, you know, who can come in the building, who can't. We had had a challenge getting PPE, masks, gloves, that
right.
sort of thing for the drivers and some disinfectants. And we had to re-educate our customers. Like about 80% of our business at the time was, and still is primarily, you meet us on the road in our truck. Stops and gives you your food.
At your house.
We do some home delivery, but again, the majority is we'll drive to, say, a gas station.
And they'll come and meet you.
And they'll meet you at a certain time, certain day. They know what time, know what day. And so the distancing is important so that all the customers will come to the truck all at once. The drivers, of course, want to have their masks on, their gloves, and there's a little process they have to change.
Educational process, not just of your employees, but the customers as well.
Very true.
Right?
True.
We should also say that we do ship FedEx throughout the continental U.S. And back in January, coincidentally, we decided to shift more towards FedEx. We were going to promote that more, and that meant starting with the containers, getting sturdier containers that would withstand the FedEx jostling, getting boxes. We've been shipping FedEx for maybe 8 years, but we really thought that this would be a shift to the future. And so we were getting all that set up, and then lo and behold, suddenly people don't want to go anywhere. They're not supposed to go anywhere. And so FedEx shipping has expanded right when we wanted it to. And it's been a good benefit for the customer.
So you're relying less on your own drivers and more on FedEx.
That's right. That's right. And we have continued to expand throughout the virus. Our numbers have expanded. But even though our route deliveries, which are throughout the Midwest, and our home deliveries, which are in several major cities, those continue. But FedEx has expanded a bunch.
Well, so are you saying that your business in some ways has been made simpler and better because of the virus?
I'm not sure if that's the case necessarily. I just feel like we are positioned better than I think some other companies are. For instance, a lot of the products that we have, the primary products, are purely ones that we take from a live animal to product. And so we have a licensed slaughterhouse that just does stuff for us. There are several products that need a USDA ingredients from different slaughterhouses, but a lot of those were shut down. And so
I was going to come to that anyway.
So we had some product challenges in certain areas, but because we have our very own facility, we didn't have to rely solely on what's out there already. And we were able to go forward and still provide our customers a lot of product, even though other places couldn't.
Now, you're a farmer up in Michigan, isn't it, right? Your farmer doesn't rely on anybody else.
Some of the products, about a third of the products that we have come from what I call ingredients. So there'll be certain hearts from one location, or they'll get some tripe from another location. So there are things that he has to take from this supplier or that supplier.
He needs other suppliers as well.
For some of those products, yeah.
Yeah.
But our core identity is we are a whole prey company. We believe in the whole animal is appropriate for your pet. So that is what we focus on. And because he had all these different places that were shutting down, on the one hand, he had ingredients he couldn't get. But at the same token, a lot of farmers that had animals couldn't take them anywhere. And so he suddenly had you know, a place for them. So on some cases, he has an abundance of product because there was no place else that was taking his animals.
Do you have very many specialized products for customers that you couldn't get because of this?
There were maybe a handful of some of the bigger ones, the ones that were the tripe, which is the stomach of the ruminants, your cows, your sheep, your goats. Those are the ones that we had a challenge procuring.
Were the customers understanding of that issue?
They were, by and large. One of the things that we always struggle with in terms of, we have over 100 different products, and some are seasonal. There are some times when rabbits are plentiful, and sometimes they're not. And so we have things like muskrat or beaver, and they have a season when they're plentiful and then when they're not. And so our customers have those that have been with us for a while, understand that there is an ebb and flow to what we can offer them. And we're very picky about the sourcing. We don't want just any chickens. We want the ones that are going to come from good environments, healthy environments, have some space for them,
right,
so they are raised healthily. And so whereas there might be an abundance of in the market, we may have a shortage because, again, we're more picky.
You're pickier. Yeah. And again, back to the grocery business. Boy, do I understand that. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We normally would talk about Paul and Suzanne of My Pet Carnivore, but they're here anyway. So we'll get back to them a little quicker. I do want to tell you about next week's show. It'll be Duke Haddad with the Salvation Army. And as those who are regular listeners know, I do a lot of not-for-profits on here. Salvation Army is one of the greatest not-for-profits of them all. The breadth and width of what they do for folks is unbelievable. And I had I checked it out back in November. I had Vinyl Lee from the Salvation Army building across the street as a guest. And when he left, I thought, we didn't get anywhere near done. And then I met Duke Haddad, and I think we covered everything, although not in depth with our, we'll cover everything, although not in depth with the interview, because they do so much good stuff. So listen in next week for the Salvation Army. Excuse me. Now back to Paul and Suzanne. So you didn't, it sounds like you didn't lose any business because of the coronavirus, and you weren't shut down because of the coronavirus.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Overall, no, we did not lose any business. Now, you know, each individual had their own level of stress that they were enduring. And so some people didn't feel comfortable, you know, going out, or maybe they switched to kibble as a backup or something like that. But in general, everyone was very happy that we were still around. Our staff was a little stressed out, as we all are. You know, every day,
sure,
things were changing, and so you tried to figure out where you stand. But yeah, we feel truly blessed, as always.
Well, that's terrific. So let me ask you, how did you bought the business when it was just a year old? Can you tell me how much the business has increased under you guys, and how you did it?
It's actually humbling to think about that, because if you look back at the numbers that we did for an entire year, the first year we bought the business, we now do more than that in a week. So
you must be doing something right.
Well, we'd like to think so. But it wasn't always a clear path forward. We made a lot of mistakes. We tried to figure out, you know, should we be all things to all people? Should we offer non-perishable items like toys or leads, or, you know,
tempting.
Yeah. And there's so many things you can offer a pet owner. And the folks can say, hey, how about you have this line of supplements, or how about you have this line of oils, or how about this, how about that? I would like a one-stop shop. And that, we get that a lot. But trying to be all things to all people ends up, you're nothing to everybody. So that becomes very challenging to know.
Interesting.
We have brought on a couple items that we don't get just from our one supplier, Mark, up in Michigan. Primarily, we added this year some freeze-dried treats. We're trying that out. And so far, that's gone well. But it's always a guess.
That's back to my days in the grocery business, one of the things O'Malley Food Markets was known for was carrying a wide variety. Even if somebody came back from New Orleans and wanted something nobody else around here wanted, but they were a $300 a week customer, we're going to bring it in. And you know what? Other people started buying it because other people went to New Orleans or whatever, okay?
Sure.
But we always drew the line at non-food items. We were tempted to sell non-food related items, take a barbecue grill or something like that, that wasn't exactly food but was related to food. But we always said, no, we're going to stick to food, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to be the place where you can get everything you want at O'Malley's in the area of groceries, okay? There are some similarities there, and there are some temptations to go beyond that.
Sure. my tale of woe is what I like to complain about, which I have no reason to complain about anything, is that, you know, it's hard to move frozen food. And that's all we do. All of our inventory is in these freezers downstairs. And then our drivers, they're in refrigerated trucks, freezer trucks. Customers are concerned about, is something going to thaw on the way? And I thought, gosh, these people that own like a t-shirt shop or something, you know?
How easy they got it.
they throw things in a box. They don't break, you know, because containers are brittle.
I got a daughter that sells t-shirts.
Oh, see, there you go. She's living the dream, I guess. But it's tempting to try to add products that are not frozen, but then they're going to be in a freezer truck when they're being transported, so that becomes difficult. Or if they're being shipped FedEx, they're going to be in a box with a bunch of dry ice, and so you have to think about how they're going to fare when they're surrounded by other frozen things.
I tell people all the time that you guys deliver this product to pet owners in 48 states. How'd you get to all 48 states? Let's talk about the marketing.
Well, first of all, we do FedEx to 48 states, so we ship them everywhere. Our footprint for what our drivers cover is closer to 15 states, so it's all the Midwestern states.
Take the 15 Midwestern states. What percentage of your sales is those states, as opposed to the other 33 states?
We do. I think we're somewhere in the neighborhood of 75% to 80%. In those states, from our personal, and if you had to include the FedEx into those states, you're probably closer to 90%.
So is it worth it to go to the other states? Must be.
We expanded into Oklahoma, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, West Virginia about a year ago, trying to push that footprint out. The jury's still out because you have to obviously send a driver out on a 3-day route,
right,
instead of a 2-day route.
Right,
now.
Right.
So they're gone longer, and you hope that the route entirety is profitable, and sometimes it isn't. But you keep going thinking
you
eventually.
But how in the world did word of your product get to Minnesota and Oklahoma? Do you know?
If I knew that question, answer that question, we do more of it, to be honest. You want to take that one? Or?
Well, I feel like our advertising, the best advertising has been word of mouth. And that's the case for everyone, isn't it? But I think that people that feed raw are maybe closer knit, or they at least belong to maybe a chat or something. And so our mantra is you always treat the customer right. You do everything for the customer. And we believe that to the core. And so we've been doing that for 10 years, and I think that gets some rave reviews.
That's very nice. So, and I guess I'm gonna wax a little poetic from what I know. If you're a pet lover, you talk to other pet lovers, whether it's online or one-on-one.
Right.
And some new customer of yours says to their friend in Oklahoma, you ought to try these guys, right? But there's always that first customer in Oklahoma, and that's where, you know, it's hard to make money on that customer.
True. And the places we have expanded to on our routes, you know, Pennsylvania or, gosh, people still want us to drive to New York, and that's a rough one. Just because it's a big distance, you know, they want to support us, and they're like, if you would just drive here, it would be cheaper than me ordering FedEx, because, you know, there's a cost to the FedEx. And so I think that's the way we've expanded throughout the Midwest, is just customers saying, please, please come here.
Well, I wondered about the drivers and the distances, and the FedEx thing is, and I should have known, because I've seen FedEx trucks out here, but it didn't occur to me that you were actually, it should have, because they were out there. But that solves the distance for your driver being on the road for 3 days and only delivering your product, where the FedEx guy's delivering lots of stuff, right?
Sure.
But it does add to the cost for the customer. But apparently those customers you have in those states, they're willing to pay it.
And one other thing, too, this past January, we were going through, redesigned the website, redesigned the packaging. We also decided that for at least the first three months, we're going to greatly reduce our shipping costs, more or less subsidize the cost. So instead of having a per pound charge, which is typical for FedEx, they did a flat $3 per 100 pounds. So they get any order under 100 pounds is just $30 east of Colorado. So if it's in Florida, it's in Maine, wherever, 100 pounds or less, $30. It costs us more than $30, about twice that, to ship that much around those areas. But we wanted to try to find a way to kickstart the FedEx option. And like I said, that was in January. And of course, come April, it was desperately needed by a lot of folks.
Great. Okay, we're going to have one more segment with Paul and Suzanne of My Pet Carnivore. Oh, before I forget, what's your phone number? If somebody out there is a pet lover and they're intrigued with this, give us your phone number, your website, all of that.
The website is really the best place to get hold of us. It's mypetcarnivore.com. Or orders at mypetcarnivore.com for email. Phone number is 317-694-4749. But really, the website is a great place to make contact with us.
And was it called My Pet Carnivore when you bought it?
It was indeed, yeah.
Did you ever think of changing that?
We didn't because I think it's part of Sue's legacy, Sue that started the business. And I like to keep that there. We still have customers that started with Sue and Doug, you know, more than 10 years ago. And it means a great deal to us. We have a lot of respect for them.
That's I have to tell you that my dad bought a grocery store in 1956 in Broad Ripple. He did not call it O'Malley's. He bought it from Mr. Roth, and he called it Roth's. He left it Roth's. And I'm a 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid. Won't you put your name on it? Customers are used to it being Roth's. Mm-hmm. So way to go. I like that. One more segment with Paul and Suzanne. I want to tell you about, you're getting a great knowledge of My Pet Carnivore, where we do our shows of the Indie Trusted Servant Show, but also where you get all that eclectic music on 91.9 FM. Next week's guest will be Duke Haddad of the Salvation Army. I did have Vinyl Lee, who runs the Salvation Army building across the street, on as a guest in November, and I felt like I didn't get everything covered. With Duke Haddad, we'll get everything covered about the Salvation Army, and that's a lot. So listen next week at 4:30 on Wednesday to Duke Haddad with the Salvation Army. Back to Paul and Suzanne for our last segment. What percentage of your... You mentioned... I always thought it was just dogs and cats, but you mentioned how many different kind of animals do you sell food for?
Oh, well, it is mainly dogs and cats, but the ferret people out there...
Ferrets, okay.
They are very important, too, and
you
they
don't, do you
love
sell
them.
The same food to ferret owners?
It really is, because dogs, cats, and ferrets, they're all carnivores, and so they all are based on a prey diet, so meat, bones, and organs, and so we do offer a couple different grinds. There's a coarse grind and a fine grind, because maybe a kitten or a small ferret, they want something that's finer, but in general, it's the same food for all.
Okay.
We also have an occasional raptor customer.
What? A raptor?
Yeah, so like if somebody has a pet eagle or a pet falcon, they'll want to sharpen their beaks on some of the turkey necks. That's that.
Really?
And an occasional lizard. We'll have a few lizard customers out there, so
okay.
I didn't know that until about a year and a half ago. We had a lizard following, but apparently we do.
Now, I don't suppose we have any eagle customers in Indianapolis.
Not to my knowledge. I think most of them are in Iowa.
In Iowa, okay.
Hawkeye State.
That is very, very interesting. So you guys have increased that business exponentially since you bought it. How many folks were working here then? You got 12 here now.
Well, the beginning is the two of us. So we would
it was just the two of
we
you.
We took every phone call, every email. We drove about 5,000 miles a month. And so I had my laptop and a cell phone attached to it, so I get the internet. And so she would drive a lot, and I would do order processing and email responses. And we would spend 2-3 nights a week in the hotel rooms. And
that's expensive.
It is.
And we always had our dogs with us, too. So that was great. We'd stay in pet-friendly hotels. And that's how we got started. And we worked out of a small rented warehouse that was just on the other side of the neighborhood here. And then we bought this building maybe 8, years, eight and a half years ago.
It wasn't in this building when you bought it.
It wasn't. Okay. Oh, my goodness, no. It was really hard to find real estate in Fountain Square, and we wanted to stay in Fountain Square. Yes, and that's before the boom. But Paul and I have lived in the neighborhood for 18 years, and so we really wanted our business to be in the neighborhood, too. And so about 8 years ago, we had one extra staff person, part-time driver, and we moved in here and set up the freezers and pretty soon added a manager and then some more drivers and then some order packers and another manager. We have a fleet manager now, and they are all the very best people. Our staff is so great.
I think I've mentioned this to you guys. If not, I'll mention it now. They seem to work well together. They seem to enjoy their mission and what they're doing. And they work hard.
They work very hard. We just had appreciation day today. Actually, I bought lunch for them, got the massages brought in for them.
I saw the massages.
Yeah, so we definitely want them to know how much we appreciate them because they are such a fantastic staff. And when you think about it, we had to split the team up where we have now two shifts, some in the morning, some in the afternoon. But they'll interchange between
those shifts.
Now,
was that because of COVID or was that just because of the flow of the business?
A little bit of both because, again, the FedEx precipitated a different process of packing as opposed to packing the trucks. And so we had to split the team in half. But they move between those roles so smoothly that I'm so impressed by them.
Well, I emphasize in my trainings and my keynotes the culture. Joe O'Malley, I watched him build a culture before O'Malley's, and I watched him build one at O'Malley's. And I see what happens to companies that grow and don't keep up with their culture. And what you're describing and what I see down there, and this is for my listeners, this is a class organization, and they do have a great culture. And it seems like you're intent on keeping it. If you've kept all 12 of your employees through this coronavirus meltdown that we're going through, that's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
Are they all full-time or some of them part?
We have officially three salaried employees that, of course, are full-time. The remainders of them, they'll work anywhere from 30 to 40 hours. So I'm not sure what you call full-time necessarily. Like a driver might spend 3 days on the road. Well, I mean, she's only actually working maybe, 8-10 hours a day, but they're gone 3 days. So
right,
how do you measure that?
I call that full-time job.
Yeah, so they're, in terms of hours clocked, 30 to 40 is typical of the team. I'm not sure we would cut off full-time, though.
One more time, that website
is mypetcarnivore.com.
Okay. Paul and Suzanne, thanks for being our guests on the Indy's Trusted Servant Show, and thanks for hosting the studio of 91.9.
Thank you, Danny.
It's great having you here. And next week, don't forget Duke Haddad of the Salvation Army. We'll see you then.